Take your Bible and turn to Daniel 11 for our message tonight. Daniel 11. We've been looking at God will perform His plans for you that are His people. And we've been studying Daniel 10 and 11 and chapter 12 to come. And this was a final revelation given to Daniel about the future of God's people. I want everybody listening. And one of the men tell me, who was the messenger that gave Daniel, the prophet, this final revelation about God's plan and how He would finish chastising the children of Israel and how He would bring them to Himself? Brother Joel.
The angel Gabriel,
the same angel, by the way, that came to Mary and told her about the Messiah and the first coming of Messiah. And of course, that revelation also was given in Daniel 9 about when the Messiah would come the first time. And it was given to the very day and the very year when Jesus would come the first time, dated from 445 BC right on up to the first coming of Jesus Christ and when He was cut off on Palm Sunday. So Daniel gives this revelation about Christ, about the children of Israel, and how they're going to accept the Lord. And the kingdom of God is going to come in. And we saw that Daniel received this revelation while he was praying. And it took a long time for the angel to fight his way through while Daniel was fasting and praying. And how long did it take, one of the men tell me, about for the angel to get through? Was it a day? How long?
3 weeks.
Yeah, about 3 weeks. And what does this teach us about prayer? And we saw the first point that God will perform all that we need, but we need to pray and realize that there's a warfare going on. And by the way, if you're not praying, you're going to be backsliding. That's the first step to backsliding. And you begin to fret and to worry, or you begin to find your joy and pleasure outside of Jesus Christ and the things of Christ. And you get away from prayer, and then you'll get away from God and His Word and the people of God. And pretty soon you'll have backslid away. We don't want to do that this summertime. So Daniel is a great example of knowing that God is in control, but he prayed for God's provision and protection. Number two, we saw that you need to purify yourself from pleasing people. And we saw that God was going to allow a persecutor in amongst God's people. He would come in the future. He hadn't come yet. He would come from the year 171 BC to about 165 BC. And he would persecute God's people. He would spoil the temple and desecrate the temple. And what was this man's name? He was a man of Syria, which came out of the old Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great. One of the men, tell me, Gregory? Excellent. Antiochus Epiphanes. And we talked about this guy and said that he would flatter people to get them to turn away from God. And by the way, the devil will try to get you to turn away from God by offering you things, praise of man, and things to get you away from God. And if he can't get you that way, he'll persecute you and cause people to speak against you to try to get you away from God. But those that were faithful stayed with God, and that is a help to us in the future, because there is somebody that's going to come and he is going to try to persecute the people of God. He's also going to try to flatter people of God to turn away from the Lord and turn away from following the Lord. What period of time is this called in the middle of the 7 years when this individual is going to raise up persecution to the people of God to turn them away from God? What period of time is this called? The great what? One of the men tell me. What's it called? Denny? The Great Tribulation. And that happens 3.5 years into the 7 years. We're looking now at the progress in your understanding of this prophecy about the Antichrist. And in Daniel chapter 9, we studied a man called the Roman Prince. And he is the beast out of the sea. in Revelation chapter, and we see that in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and he is the Roman prince. He's the head of the European Union. He is the political leader that Daniel 9 talks about, and he is going to promise Israel what at the beginning of the 7 years? What will he promise Israel at the beginning of the 7 years, Joe?
Peace.
Peace. Protection. Protection from their neighbors should they be invaded. And if they will trust him and rely on him and his armies, they will have peace and safety. Does God want them to rely upon the armies of the head of the Roman Empire or the European Union? Who should they be relying upon, Brother Joe? God himself. God himself. And the Bible says that when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. And this was the Roman prince that they're relying on. But there's another man that's going to be a religious leader. He's going to be a economic leader. He's going to be an Israeli leader who is called in 1 John chapter 2. And by the way, that's the only place in 1 John and 2 John where this title is used of this man. People talk about this title all the time and they misconstrue it and they apply it to the political leader of Daniel 9, the Roman beast. They apply it to him. It's not applied to him. The man that is going to be an Israeli leader and is going to be a miracle worker and is going to be a great leader equal to the Roman beast and cause the people to worship the image of the Roman beast. What is the title given to this man in 1 John and 2 John 7? Yes.
Antichrist.
That's the term Antichrist. And the Antichrist will be, we believe, a Jew. And interesting, I was studying today and I looked up in the early church, 2nd century A.D., a student of Irenaeus, who is one of the church fathers. They call these the anti-Nicene church fathers. That simply means the church fathers before the Nicene Creed in the 1st and 2nd century. These early church fathers knew a lot from the Bible because they were students of men that were students of the apostles. And this guy is a guy by the name of Hippolytus. And Hippolytus wrote on De Christo et Antichristo, page 14 and 15, he believed that the Antichrist would be Jewish. He believed that he would descend from the tribe of Dan, because Dan is not mentioned in Revelation 7 when the 144,000 Jews and the different tribes are mentioned. Dan is also omitted in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And also, Dan is associated in Isaiah 14, 29 and 31 with serpents. And in Revelation 12 and in Genesis 49, verse 17, with serpents. And then very interesting, and we'll look at this, Dan is associated in Amos 8, 11 through 14 with the worship of a false god. And by the way, I looked this up. Look up verse 37 of Daniel 11. Look at that. It says of the Antichrist, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now, many Bible scholars, I read them from Dallas Seminary and others, many Bible scholars say, well, that's in the King James Bible. Well, amen. But in other translation, like the Revised Standard, which by the way came out in the 1880s in England and then in America in the early 1900s, which relied upon other manuscripts like Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, we won't get into all that, but they are manuscripts that are corrupted and have omissions from them, from the Textus Receptus, from which our King James Bible was translated. Well, these translations, like, and I looked it up, the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, also it's in the NIV, and other modern perversions of the Bible, they state that it is the gods of his father, small g, verse 37, neither shall he regard the gods of his fathers. Now, why would they change that? Other than the fact that there's a perverted manuscript there that helps them to do that. But what how does that change who you view this man as in Daniel 11, if it's the gods of his fathers? Well, I'll tell you. If it's the gods of his fathers, small g, he must be a Gentile, a non-Jew. And that's how a lot of people make the, quote, Antichrist to be a Gentile, to be a person that comes out of the revived Roman Empire. While that's not the Antichrist, that is the Roman prince of Daniel 9 or the Roman beast of Revelation 13, verses 1 through 9. The Antichrist is Revelation 13, 10 and following. The Antichrist is the miracle worker of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and here in Daniel 11. And he promotes the worship of the Roman beast. He says worship his image, but he is a Jew. And he's forsaking, verse 37, the God, King James Bible, the only translation that I know of that says that in the English language, the God of his fathers. I'm not sure about the New King James. They may have that right because they have part Textus Receptus and part perverted manuscripts. They're a mixture. But anyway, what I'm trying to say to you is that this individual is an individual that is a Jew, and he is going to promote the worship of the image of the beast. By the way, look at verse 38. It says, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces and a God, small g, whom his fathers knew not. That is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The Jewish forefathers didn't know this God, small g, whom he shall honor with gold and silver and precious stones. Who's that God that he's going to honor with gold and silver and precious stones? A God, small g, that his fathers didn't know. Who is that God, Joe?
I believe it's Satan.
Well, it's not really Satan. It's the one that Satan inspires, or one of them that Satan inspires. Yes.
Beast out of the sea.
It's the beast out of the sea, the Roman beast of the political leader of the revived Roman Empire. Why does he lead the people to worship that God, that person as God? Well, it's because of Satan. But it's also because they're promising protection. They're promising protection to Israel. And instead of relying on God, they're relying on him. So the Bible says in Daniel 11, verse 38, that he's going to honor him. Look what it says in verse 39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, that's a foreign God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase. Every time you see strange or foreign, that's an Israelite context. And it means a foreign God, an idol that Israel doesn't hold to. They hold to Jehovah alone. A strange God whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. I believe this individual is going to divide the land for gain, and he's going to cause them to worship a foreign God, and he's going to cause the Israelites to bow down to a statue of the Roman leader in Rome, the head of the European Union. They're going to have a statue right in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to say you have to bow down and worship that statue. I personally believe there'll be a statue all throughout the kingdoms of the world, that they'll have a statue of this Roman leader, and they'll worship him in place of God, and the Antichrist will call for that. Now, the Antichrist calls for worship of himself, but he also calls for the worship of the Roman beast. Now, how does that fit Jesus Christ? He calls for worship of himself and for the Roman beast. How does that fit Jesus Christ? Because the Antichrist is against Christ, and he also replaces Christ. Gregory?
How Christ said that he and his Father are one, and he's worshiped his Father's foolish in heaven.
Excellent. Christ said, basically, worship me, I'm God. And he never denied when Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He didn't say, no, don't worship me, Thomas. No, he didn't do that. He accepted worship. He said, I and my Father are one, John 10, and the Jews took up stones to stone him. He didn't back off from that. He said in John 14, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He said, I'm God. And the Antichrist is going to be a Jewish individual, I believe from the tribe of Dan, and he is going to ask people to worship him. But just like Jesus said, don't only worship me, he said, worship my Father. I'm equal with the Father, worship him. This Antichrist will say, worship my Father, or the Father, or the God of gods. And who is that God that he says to worship other than himself? Who is that small g God that he says to worship? One of the men. Yes, Eric.
Satan.
Well, Satan will be behind it. He'll inspire it. Satan's like the Holy Spirit. He's like, he doesn't call attention so much to himself, although he's there, but he's inspiring this. And the Antichrist is like the Son. Satan's like the Holy Spirit. Who's like the Father in this trinity of evil? Yes. Yes, excellent. The Roman prince, the Roman beast, depending on how you want to look at it. He's a beast out of the Sea of Nations, of Gentile nations. And so he is going to be worshipped as well. And this is what we see happening here. And then we're getting up to verse number 40. And we're going to talk about the war that's going to begin in the end times. Now, if you go to Revelation 6, don't turn there. But if you're in my Sunday school class, we're studying Revelation 6. At the beginning of the end, when the 7 years begin, there's going to be a peace treaty. I believe that the head of the EU will promise protection to Israel. I believe the Jewish Antichrist, who will be over Israel at the time, will lead the nation as a false shepherd into putting their trust in this Roman leader. And in Isaiah chapter 28, it says, when that happens, listen, when that happens, that peace that Israel will accept will lead to what? It's in Isaiah 28. It's also in Revelation 6. What will that peace lead to in Revelation 6? Joe?
War.
The white horse of peace and of false Christs will lead to the red horse of war. By the way, whenever people put their faith in false peace, they're going to have trouble. All right? Liberty comes with the spilling of blood. The freedom of the protester to protest comes because American soldiers have shed their blood that we might be a free country. If they didn't shed their blood, we would be under the slavery of dictators and tyrants. We have the freedoms we have because of people willing to shed their blood. All right, and let's not forget them as we think about the 4th of July and all the rest. And this very hall is named after one of those soldiers, Eric Hall. And so as we think about this, there's going to be war because the Jewish people have trusted the wrong God, small g. Look at verse 40. And by the way, if you make somebody your God, might be girls, a guy, you put that above God, or guys, a girl, or somebody else, you're going to pay for it. And look at verse 40. It says, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots. Now, when it says push at him, that's verse 40. If you want to know who that him is, you look at verse 39. And if you look at verse 39, who is the him that is being attacked by the king of the south and the king of the north? Joe?
I believe the Antichrist.
Got it. The Antichrist. Now, how can the Antichrist be attacked? Well, simply this. The Antichrist is the ruler of Israel. Israel at that time is in covenant with the European Union. And we see that happening right now as I've talked about it. The European Union is entering into covenant with Middle Eastern nations. Israel will be in covenant with the European Union. And therefore, an attack upon Israel will be an attack upon Rome, and an attack upon Israel will be an attack upon him, the Antichrist, who rules over Israel. And so he's going to be attacked. And it says that the king of the south and the king of the north are going to do that. The king of the south, according to Daniel 11, if you look at it, and the king of the north are explained there in the previous verses. Who is the king of the south that will attack Israel? Denny? Good, Denny. Egypt, very good. And then the king of the north will follow. And who's the king of the north, Denny?
Syria.
Do we see these nations today have rest of people, and they wanna many of them stir up trouble for Israel? And even though they're making peace right now, that's going to be a false peace eventually. That's going to lead to this war in the Middle East, and this is going to happen. Now, I want you to notice, because it's hard to decide how this war goes based on Daniel chapter 11, verse 40 and 41, because it says that at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, and with many horsemen and many ships and so forth. That's Syria, and shall pass over. And then verse 41 says, he shall enter also into the glorious land. Now the he there, some people believe that's Syria backed by the Soviet Union and Russia. And that may be. Others, however, believe, and I tend to believe this, that he there is referring to this Antichrist. And according to the Bible, we do know this, though, whoever it is, the he is there in verse 41, whether it's Syria and her northern power behind her, Russia and her allies, or if the he now is the Antichrist, we do know what's going to happen when Egypt and Syria invades into Israel. What do you think the Antichrist is going to do as soon as they invade? Well, think about that and look with me at John chapter 10. Go to John chapter 10. And we want to look at what the Bible says that Antichrist is going to do when this invasion takes place. John chapter 10, and we see Jesus telling us about this Antichrist. It's as if Jesus is saying, you know, you're going to put your faith in Antichrist. You should be putting your faith in me, because I really love you. By the way, whoever it is that you put your faith in above the Lord, Jesus is saying to you, you should put your faith in me, because I really love you. I died for you. I rose again for you. You should dress to please me. You should have your relationships to please me. You should spend your time the way I want you to spend it. Why? Well, look at John chapter 10, and here's what Jesus said in verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he, speaking of the Antichrist, that is an hireling, or he's hired to do what he does. He doesn't do it because of true heart love. He does it for money and for fame and so forth. But the hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. Israel are the sheep, and he doesn't really own them. By the way, who bought Israel? Jesus with his blood. And the sheep are not the Antichrist. He seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Now this, I believe, is a prophecy of these invading armies at the end that are going to come into Israel, and the Antichrist is going to run away. He's going to hide to protect himself. Now, he's promised them peace, but now comes the invasion, and he doesn't like the invasion, and so he runs away. And if indeed the he of verse 41 is the Antichrist, then he goes back into the land with an army from the European Union. He hides during the time of trouble, but then he comes back with an army from the European Union, and he invades the land. And it says there in verse 41 that Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon shall escape. That's talking about the nation of Jordan. So he's going to come in with the European army and defeat Syria and go in and defeat Egypt. And Jordan, he will not defeat, because he's moving south after he takes care of Syria. And then verse 42 talks about that. And then verse 43 says, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But then it says in verse 41, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many. Now, if this is the Antichrist coming back with the armies of the European Union, in verse 41, if that's him and not the armies of the northern powers, then after he defeats Syria and after he defeats Egypt, And he's down there south in Egypt with all of his armies, just on the border of Libya and North Africa. He hears tidings out of the north and out of the east, and they trouble him, and he turns around to face that new threat that he didn't count on. He didn't think he was going to have that threat. If that is indeed the Antichrist, then who do you think would be this warning from the north and the east, mobilizing and getting ready to attack into the Middle East after Syria and Egypt attacked, and he defeated them? Yes.
I want to take a guess. The revival from the EU and maybe Russia.
No, he's with the EU. The Antichrist is the Jewish Antichrist. He's leading an armies of the EU. They're helping him because they promised to defend Israel. And Syria and Egypt have attacked, and now they're going to protect Israel against Syria and Egypt, which are part of their empire, really. Yes?
Is this when Jesus comes back?
Nope. It's not when Jesus comes back. The end is not yet, Jesus said in Matthew 24. These are the wars and the rumors of wars at the beginning of the 70th week. I believe this will happen in the first year of the 70th week. There'll be a false peace, and then boom, this will happen. So who do you think may be invading from the east and from the north after he defeats Syria and Egypt, if this is, verse 41, is the Antichrist? There's one other possibility, but if this is, yes. You got Russia. There, if you take a map of Israel, and you know if you go directly north, I've done it many times, you're going to run right into Russia. You're also going to have all the Soviet Union states in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that are going to come down with Russia. Now, in the east, you have one big country, and you have two countries, actually, Iran and Turkey. Iran will come with Russia. And by the way, they're getting allied together. He's going to turn around with his army to face them. And what's going to happen before he can get there? Yes.
He comes back.
No, he doesn't come back. This is the beginning of the 7 years. He's not back yet. What's going to happen? Russia and her allies, Iran, are going to be destroyed on the mountains of Israel by God. Supernatural judgments before these armies that have defeated Syria and Egypt can even get back to fight them. They're going to be moved out of the way. And when they do, can you imagine the power of the Antichrist and of the Roman beast now, the European Union? They're going to just have nobody contest their leadership in the Middle East. And that is what we see here. Now, the other possibility here in verse 41 is if he is the northern army where Russia is backing Syria, he shall enter into the glorious land and all of that and have power, and then tidings out of the east and north shall trouble him. Then that would be some kind of an EU stirring, but then God will destroy the Russian army at that point, and the same thing would apply. Then the EU would have all the power. But here's the point. After this false peace, there's going to be war in the Middle East. And the one that's going to really defend Israel is God once again. Ezekiel 37 and 38, you hear about that. And but when the Roman leader has power over the Middle East and over Israel, we know he's going to move into the temple in the middle of the 7 years. We've been talking about the first part of the 7 years, and once again, the first thing that's going to happen as the very beginning of the 7 years is peace between Israel and her Arab neighbors, and they'll have protection from the European Union, and the leader of Israel, the Jewish Antichrist, will lead them to make this covenant or agreement with the Roman beast, the head of the European Union, we believe, and that will begin the 7 years, and within the first year, there'll be war. Say, why the first year? Because it's going to take 7 years to burn the weapons from this war, and it's got to be the first year that they begin burning, because they're not going to burn them in the millennium, I don't believe. So after a false peace, There's going to be war and then famine and all the rest. And then we're going to come in the middle of the 7 years. And the Roman beast now is not going to have to worry about Russia. He's not going to have to worry about Iran or anything like that. He will then say to Israel, you better worship me. And the Israeli leaders say, yeah, you better worship him. He's the big superpower. Now you follow and you worship him. And then it's going to be but a short time, and Jesus Christ will come back again sometime during the second half of the 3.5 years. But what I'm saying to you is that we are moving close to the end. We're moving close to the time when these prophecies are going to be fulfilled. Number one, if you're saved, you won't take the mark of the Antichrist. You won't take it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you, and He will not let you do that. He's a jealous God. He won't let you do that. But if you're not saved, guess what? I don't care how you think you won't do it. You will be pressured into it. You will follow it. You will take the mark of the Antichrist, and you will burn in hell forever because you never got saved. And so it's so important right now that we determine, is it Jesus Christ or the Antichrist? Whose side are we on? Whose side are you on? If you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and you put your faith in Him to be your Savior, then the Holy Spirit is in you, and you will not take the mark of the beast. But if you don't do that, I don't care if it's your family or your friends, they'll turn on you. They'll turn on Jesus, just like they did in the days of Antiochus. It's going to happen all over again. And people will put their faith in who can feed them. Who can give them the best deal? And so, listen, like I said the other day, I was in McDonald's when we took this Sunday school class trip, and I had coupons, and I had a cheeseburger, and I had fries, and I was giving it out to members of our class, and we were getting them and getting free cheeseburgers and fries. That was all right. But there was a lady there, she wasn't even in our class, and she raised her hand. I'd like to have a cheeseburger and a fry. I said, yes, ma'am, here you go. Boom, boom. She was so happy. And I said, can I ask you two spiritual questions? And I started talking to her about that meat, that burger that'll never grow old, Jesus, that will last forever. And you know what? She didn't even want to listen to that. She kind of listened out of politeness, but she was trying to turn away. She didn't want it. But boy, she wanted that cheeseburger and that fry, which might last her about 2 minutes, and it's gone. See, this is the way the world is. The world is just looking for the next political candidate that will give them a good deal. And they'll believe the lies and the garbage that these guys put out. I'd rather believe God. I'd rather put my faith in the Word of God. All right? And I'm telling you, get your Bible, follow your Bible, put Jesus Christ first in everything you do. He'll never lead you wrong because He is a shepherd that loves you. He is not in it for what he can get out of it, like the Jewish Antichrist is going to be, like the Roman beast is going to be. He is not going to be following Satan. He is from the Father God, and he's the best friend you've got. If you haven't accepted him, you better accept him as your personal Savior tonight. And then come forward and get baptized and put the mark on and say, hey, I'm the Lord's. I'm not ashamed to say it. That's what baptism is. And if you are saved, if you are saved, you put him first this summer, all through your life. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I want to ask you a question. Have you accepted by faith Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Would you raise your right hand if you say, I've done that, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. All right, you may put it down. I want to ask you this. Since you've been saved by Jesus, if you raised your hand and you said you're saved, since you've been saved, have you been baptized? Raise your hand if you have been. All right, you may put it down. If you haven't been, you need to be. If you haven't been, you need to be. And if you haven't accepted the Lord and you couldn't raise your hand, guess what? When Antichrist comes, you're going to go in with his crowd and you're going to wind up in hell and you're not going to be saved and you're going to burn forever. And so I say to you tonight, why don't you decide tonight, I want to be here forever. I want to be here 1,000 years from now. I want to be here 1,000,000 years from now. I want to be here 1,000,000,000 years from now. I want to be with Christ forever and ever and ever. That's what he died to give us, eternal life. But you have to accept him. Don't be like that woman and just want a cheeseburger and a fry, but not Jesus. If you haven't accepted him, would you tell the Lord tonight, Lord, I'm accepting you as my personal Savior. Come into my heart. And I'll live for you. And listen to me. If you're saved tonight and you have accepted him, are you walking close to him by praying? Are you walking close to him by reading and feeding on his word? Are you walking close to him by telling others about him and witnessing and doing his work? Oh, that's what we need to be doing, because the time is very short. And you'll be glad you did his will. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the one called Jesus Christ, Lord, that he's greater than the Antichrist. And we thank you, Father, for that you're our Father, that you're greater than that Roman European political leader. And Lord, may our faith be strengthened in you. And may you use us to bring others to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.